Thank you, ladies, for that special. What a beautiful song. And aren't you thankful for Christ, amen, the faithful one? He's the reason we're here today, and just want to worship him and give him praise and glory. Thankful for the cross of Calvary and all that Jesus Christ has done for us. I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts. We're going to look at a lot of verses in the book of Acts this morning, and as we just continue this thought, in what we looked at last week is John 7, 37 through 39, and we're going to look at that as well, just kind of getting started this morning, and try to tie it all together. What I want you to see as we consider our theme for the year, that it's Christ in me, that the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the moment you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. He makes us alive. And Jesus being in you makes a difference in your life. And one of the greatest differences of Christ being in you, His Spirit being in you, is that we would be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That has to do with the indwelling of the Spirit, but it's more than that. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus promised that he would empower the church for the express purpose of witnessing to the world. So we're made alive by the Spirit in us, but then the church is empowered by him. And so we have this great empowering of the Spirit that came at Pentecost for the express purpose of taking the gospel to the world. And I just want to try to break that down today. There's so much in the book of Acts where you can see that truth born out, that they went everywhere preaching. And I'm going to mention some of those to you, but we're just going to focus in on Acts chapter 4 in just a second. But if you're able, let's stand together and look at John 7, 37. Should be on the screen, hopefully. And he says in John 7, verse 7, 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, I told you last week, if you just at first glance, you'd say, oh, that's just talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. When you're born again, the Spirit comes inside. But he lets us know that this was something different. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, we know that the Spirit has always made people alive. You can't have life in God without the Holy Spirit of God. And so it's not talking about just the indwelling of a believer. This is something different. And so then we fast forward to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus gives the promise, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus says the Spirit's going to come. We know here in Acts 1 and verse 8, he's talking about that day of Pentecost, because we fast forward again to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the Spirit of God came and empowered them for what? To go and preach. Were they just putting on a show, speaking languages they'd never heard? No, they were out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to people from all over the world so that they could hear and understand the gospel message. And Peter goes on to explain everything that's happening. We fast forward in Acts chapter 3, we see the lame man who is healed. All the people come together and Peter preaches Christ to them. And that brings us to Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. And it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the time to open your word. Lord, please give us understanding to rightly divide the word of truth today. Please help me to preach exactly as you'd have me to. But Father, today, give us a conviction in our heart for the lost that are around us. Lord, there's a lot of fear in our world today. People are afraid of sickness and disease, but Father, I pray that you would open their eyes to something far more dangerous, and that's the sickness of sin. Lord, help them to realize their need for a Savior, and help us to be bold and courageous and loving enough to take the cure to them, to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Empower your church, Father. Help us to be bold witnesses for you in the power of your Holy Spirit, to speak the truth in love everywhere we go. And Father, I pray that you bless our time together now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So I just ran through a lot of stuff real fast, but just get it. During his earthly ministry, Jesus says, I'm going to send the Spirit, and when he comes, it's going to be like rivers of living water flowing out of you. It's going to start down inside of here, and it's going to come out. It's going to be living water. And then we go to Acts 1 and verse 8. He says, I'm going to give you power. It's going to come on the church for the express purpose of being witnesses to the whole world. And then we see that fulfilled. Now, I'm not going to take the time today to get into all the stuff about the speaking in tongues and all those miraculous sign gifts. We understand they were for a specific time, for a specific purpose, and that those things were done away when the scriptures were completed. It's another lesson for another day. The point is that when you get to this point in Acts, after Pentecost, that the entire rest of the book is about the church going and preaching the gospel everywhere they go. Just listen. These aren't going to be on the screen. You have to turn there, but just listen to a few of these. In Acts 8, verse 1, it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Persecution came about the stoning of Stephen. They went everywhere, but everywhere they went preaching the word. It says in Acts 8, 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. In Acts 8, 25, it says, then they, when they had testified and preached the word of God, word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of Samaritans. In Acts 11, 19, now when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Acts 14, 7. When they go to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. Acts 16, 13. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont or known to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. In Acts 18 and verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And in Acts 26, we see Paul preaching to Agrippa, and just over and over and over and over again through the book, you see them going and preaching and reasoning and persuading and speaking. And friends, that's what I want you to see today, that when a church is empowered by the Spirit of God, they will go and preach the gospel everywhere they go. Amen. Now, I could end there, but I'm going to go ahead and preach a little longer. But that's the point. So just follow that to its logical conclusion with me this morning. If we are not preaching the gospel as we go through our lives everywhere we go, if we are not taking the gospel in the power of the Spirit and boldly proclaiming the truth, speaking the truth in love to others, then what does that say about the power of the Spirit or the lack thereof in this church? If we have the power of the Spirit, we will go and preach the gospel. But if we're not going and preaching the gospel, then what does that say? See, we would like to puff out our chest a little and say, you know, this is a true New Testament church. We have the Spirit of God in this place. We have the truth. But friends, if we're not taking that truth out there, then friends, that's dangerous evidence, serious indictment that we do not have the power of the Spirit in this place. I want you to notice a few things this morning as we kind of walk through Acts chapter 4. And the first thing is persecution. Persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I think fear is the number one reason people don't share the gospel with other people. That may not even really be the number one reason, but it's the number one reason that we see, that we think of, that we think is the reason we don't witness. We're afraid. And what is it that we're afraid of? I think largely we're afraid of persecution. Now, the persecution that they faced in the first century, the persecution that our brothers and sisters face around the world today, is not the persecution we face today right here in Mulder, Oklahoma, but we're still afraid of that. You're afraid that if you talk to your friend about Jesus, they're going to get upset with you. They won't be going to be your friend anymore. You're afraid that when you knock on that door, they're going to get mad and slam the door in your face. You're afraid that they don't want to hear what you have to say. And so we have a fear of persecution, but we shouldn't be afraid of persecution. We should expect persecution. Amen. The more you live for Christ, the more you stand up for Jesus, the more you speak the truth, the more the world is going to hate you. Now, we don't go looking for trouble, but when you stand for the truth, trouble's going to come. That's just the way it is. When they spake to the people, listen, Peter heals the lame man there in the temple. It's a miracle in front of everybody. Nobody can deny it. All the people run. And what does he do? He says, yeah, look what I did. No, he stands up and says, listen, I had nothing to do with this. If you want to know how this happened, let me tell you about Jesus Christ, who you slew and hanged on a tree. He preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. You killed the Son of God, and he rose again the third day. And if you'll repent and believe in him, you can have life too. And so he preaches the gospel, and that upsets the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees. And so they have persecution that comes on them. They lay hands on them and they put them in prison. They lock them up. Now, for whatever reason, miraculously, they want to observe the law this time. And so they don't do anything with them because they're not supposed to have trials at night. Now, they did that to Jesus. But these apostles, they put them in prison. They say, we're not going to do anything until tomorrow. And so they leave them in prison overnight. Next, I want you to see how this leads to the preaching. This leads to the preaching. Now, I already read you all of those verses, and we see all through the book of Acts. You study it out. There were preaching, speaking, reasoning, and persuading people to turn to Christ. All of those words are applied to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And by the way, those are all things that we ought to employ. We ought to preach. What does that mean? It means to proclaim it. We ought to speak it. What's that mean? This speaking, when they went to the riverside and talked to the people there, it was a little different. It wasn't like standing up in the synagogue and preaching to all of those who had gathered to worship. This was different. When they went to the riverside, they just talked to them. They had a conversation with them. We see them reasoning. What does that mean? Listen, believing in Jesus is not blind faith. It's the very most reasonable thing to do. To know that there's a God in heaven. Can I give you a surprise today? This universe didn't create itself. Amen. I know, that's really hard for some people to believe. But this didn't come from nothing. Amen. Nothing didn't create anything. And to all the brilliant scientists in the world today that tell us the reason there's something from the nothing is because there's something in the nothing, that's idiotic. Did you follow that? One of the leading atheists in the world today wrote a book, and it's all about why there's something instead of nothing. In his whole book, the whole premise, he hates God, the God he says he doesn't believe in. And he writes about it. And in his book, the whole premise of it all is that there is something in what we call nothing. And that's why the universe made itself. Does that make sense to anybody here? No, it's laughable. If there's something in the nothing, then it's not nothing, it's something. Hello? Like, we gotta work on our definitions here. And the fact that there's something in what he would call nothing, listen, all that is evidence of the power of God in creation. Amen. We reason with people because believing in Jesus Christ is the very most reasonable thing a person could do. We reason with them. We show them that there is a God in heaven. We show them the reason behind the fact that there is reason, that there is logic, that there is truth. We reason with them to know that this didn't happen by accident. And God has revealed himself to us through his word. And then he revealed himself to us through his son who loved us so much he died for us and rose again. It's reasonable to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we persuade men. You remember Acts 26:28, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I've had people tell me that Christians shouldn't try to persuade people to be Christians. That's one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard somebody who thinks they're a Christian to say. What do you mean we shouldn't persuade people? Are you kidding me? We just leave them alone and let them go to hell? Of course we should persuade them. Of course we should reason with them of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Of course we should try to persuade them to turn from their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Of course. That's what we're doing when we go and preach the gospel. Here they're brought before these leaders of the temple, and we go on here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. Y'all go ahead and amen that if you want to. Many of them which heard the word believed. Amen. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Now, there are scholars tell me that, and the commentaries tell me that this phrase, the number of the men was about 5,000, means that the number of men that were in the church was brought up to 5,000, not that an extra 5,000 was added. Either way, thousands of people came to faith in Christ. Amen. Praise God. And it came to pass on the morrow, there rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power, or by what name, have ye done this? Now I want you to stop for a second and look at these words, power and name. Because we have both the authority as the church, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and both of those things are right here in this verse. By what power? This is dunamis. This is the same word that Jesus used in Acts 1:8. These leaders of the temple recognized that Peter and John had power. Amen. You with me? They understood that these men had miraculous power. And they said, where did you get that power from? And then they said, by what name? What are they asking? They're saying, by what authority have you done? Who gives you the ability and the authority to come in here and perform this kind of miracle? Can you just see Peter say, I'm glad you asked. Can you see it? Man, sometimes that happens for you. Like when you give somebody a gospel track and they say, what is it? Well, I'm glad you asked. What's it say? What's it say in there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, Peter, they said, well, whose power and authority did you do this? In verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. This is important. Peter's response is a spirit-filled response. And friends, when we are witnessing for Jesus Christ, we must be filled with the Spirit. If we would have power to see lives changed. And said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Amen. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. That's one of the most glorious passages in all of your New Testament. Who gave you power and authority? Well, since you asked, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Look at the boldness. He says, listen, I want you to know it. I want everybody in Israel to know it. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. What boldness. You killed Jesus. You killed the Messiah. You killed the Savior. You crucified him. You hung him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead. Amen. How you know that's true? You want some proof? See the man standing there whole? Amen. See him? You can't deny the power. You can't deny the miracle. He's living proof right here. The man's standing there. And the reason he's standing is because of Jesus Christ. Preaches scripture. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. That's exactly what Jesus said would happen. He prophesied of himself going to Jerusalem, suffering many things because that stone had to be rejected of the builders. So he preaches Christ and he preaches Scripture. And then we know verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He boldly proclaims the word of God, and he does it through the power of the Spirit. So we see the persecution. We see the preaching or proclaiming. We see the power. We see the power in verse 13. Now remember, verse 8 said Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen. These are fishermen. These weren't educated men. They probably didn't learn how to read and write. They had no understanding. Like, we have a hard time getting that today. Our literacy rates are really, really high in America today. But in those days, almost no one knew how to read. Almost no one knew how to write. They didn't get that. You had to have special training. These were unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, they hadn't been classically taught these things. But they saw the boldness that they had, and they said, listen, these guys have been with Jesus. Amen. If you want to have power to witness to others, you're going to have to spend time with Jesus. You're going to have to spend time in prayer. You're going to have to spend time in the Word of God. You're going to have to spend time, saturate your heart and mind with the preaching of the Word of God in order to be effective in preaching the Word of God and proclaiming the goodness of God to others. They had boldness. They had the ability to stand up and stick a finger in their face and say, you killed him, you crucified him, but God raised him again. Amen. That's how Nathan had that ability to stick the finger in David's face. He was able to say, thou art the man. Why? Because he was filled with the Spirit of God. You can't have that kind of power. You can't have that kind of authority. You can't have that kind of boldness unless you spend time with Jesus. Amen. Verse 14 says, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. You see that? Listen to me. They would have denied it if they could. They would have said it was just a hoax if they could. They didn't care about the truth. They only cared about their power and their position. Their heart was to deny it. And friends, if you think that, that kind of stuff doesn't go on today, you're crazy. The mass hysteria that's going on in the world today is largely due to who people are listening to. I'm really astounded because you look at a news article or a news story from different outlets talking about the same event, and they say completely opposite things. Not that they just get some details mixed up or some little parts of it a little different. They say exactly the opposite. You see, that evil has been around for a long time, and that's exactly what these men would do. They would have spun it. They would have twisted it. They would have denied it outright if they could have. But it was too public. It was too open. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ ought to be so evident, stay with me, that nobody can deny it. Amen. Have you seen it? Have you seen a life so transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ that the power of the gospel can't be denied? That's what we're talking about here. And that same thing can happen today. Verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that this proclamation is coming soon to a city near you. In Canada today, you can't get up in public and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Canada today, if you preach against homosexuality, they will take you and throw you in jail. Amen. There are men in our country who have been in public places who have preached the gospel and have been arrested for standing and preaching the gospel in public places in our country. Amen. It's true. In a mall, on a sidewalk, in a public area, men have been arrested for preaching in the name of Jesus. Now listen to me, if they got up there and said God loves you and God loves you just the way you are, nobody would have a problem with that. But when they talk about sin and they talk about how Jesus died for their sin and how Jesus is the only way to be saved, that's a problem. Amen. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear the truth. And so listen to me. I want you to understand that we look at this as being 2,000 years ago. We look at some of the persecution and the church is underground in China. But you need to understand that it's coming. And here's the really, really sad part of all of this. Nobody's telling you not to preach Jesus in Muldrow right now. Amen. There's no proclamation that says we can't go door to door and tell people about Jesus. There's no proclamation that says you can't stand outside of the Piggly Wiggly and tell people about Jesus. There's nothing to stop us, and yet we are stopped. There's no proclamation that says, don't speak in the name of Jesus around here, and yet we don't do it. And I've heard people my whole life that say, you know, if they told me I couldn't, I'd do it anyway. You're not doing it now. They'd have to take my Bible out of my dead, cold fingers. Well, you're not reading it now. You think you're going to read it when there's actually something at stake? I'm trying to tell you today, friends, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and do the things that God's called us to do right now. And we have better opportunity now than we may ever have in the future. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. I've seen Jesus. I've heard the glorious gospel. Amen. That a wretched sinner like me, Jesus died for it and rose again. I've seen the power of the gospel to change lives. And I cannot but speak the things that I have seen and heard. You tell me not to preach Jesus, I can't not preach Jesus. You tell me not to give out Bibles or gospel tracts. You tell me not to tell people about the glorious gospel. You tell me not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. I can't not speak in the name of Jesus. This phrase, we cannot but speak, basically it means this. It is absolutely impossible. When he says we cannot but speak, what he's saying is, it is the absolute negative of possibility. It is absolutely not possible for us to not speak about Jesus. We have to speak about Jesus. We have to tell people what we've seen and heard. We have seen the risen Savior. We have seen his power. We have heard his message, and we have to tell other people. You go ahead and judge that for yourself. You think we ought to listen to you more than God? You go ahead and work that out for yourselves. But as for us, we're going to keep preaching Jesus. Verse 21 says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. They couldn't say, listen, he's just been sick for a couple of days. It just they got lucky. They caught him at a good time. They couldn't deny it. They couldn't spin it. So they had to just let him go. I want to tell you today, friends, the power of a changed life is a powerful tool in reaching the world with the gospel. And a hypocritical life is detrimental in the proclamation of the gospel to the world. Amen. Why is it so important that we live right? Most people think we have to live right so we can get to heaven. Your living right has nothing to do with whether or not you'll get to heaven. Do you hear that? Your living right has nothing to do with whether or not you get to heaven. It's all by what he did for us. Amen. But you living right will have an eternal impact on whether other people get into heaven. Amen. It's a testimony of a changed life. Not that we're perfect, not that we don't fall, but that we're honest and we're genuine, we're real. And we are being changed. We are putting off the old man and putting on the new man. We are not who we used to be because of Jesus Christ. And we always give him glory. How did your life change? Why are you so different? You're not like you used to be. Well, let me tell you. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I crucified him by my wicked works. But God raised him from the dead. There was persecution, but it didn't stop them. They continued to preach. And their preaching was with great power because they spent time with Jesus and were filled with the Holy Ghost. And that led to a time of great praise and prayer. Verse 23 says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." There's a pattern. It's established in the book of Acts. The people gather with one accord. They worship God. They praise him and they pray and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. When they're filled with the Holy Spirit, I defy you to find a place where somebody's filled with the Spirit and they don't preach the gospel. That they don't stand up for Jesus. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They preach the word of God with boldness. Persecution comes, they praise God because they get to be persecuted for Jesus, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preach the word of God with boldness. And they're persecuted for preaching the word of God with boldness, and they praise God because they were counted worthy to suffer for his name, and so they continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit and preach the gospel. Do you see it? I mean, it's over and over and over and over and over in the book of Acts, and listen to me. I don't know what's happened in our churches. But I've heard about it my whole life, the good old days, and how we had great revivals and dozens of people came to Christ. And I hear about all those things, but something happened, friends. I guess we didn't get persecuted enough or something because we've stopped being filled with the Spirit. We've stopped preaching the Word of God with boldness. We've stopped seeing lives dramatically, miraculously transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's time for us to wake up. We better come together today and praise God for what he's done through Christ. We better come together today and pray that he would fill us with the Holy Spirit. That we, what did they pray? Look at the evil that's against us, Lord. Give us boldness to preach the gospel. And he fills them with the Spirit and they preach the word with boldness. I still believe that Jesus is in the power and the business of saving people. And some of you might say to me today, well, Brother Isaac, people are getting saved. We had a few saved just a couple weeks ago. And just look and listen, I praise God for every soul that's saved. Amen. They tell me that we can't rest on our laurels. You know, my whole life growing up, I didn't know what a laurel was. I thought resting on your laurels, I thought laurels were like your hind parts. I, No idea. Your laurels are the things that are lauded, the things that are praised, the good things of the good old days. And we ought to praise God for the good things of the good old days. Amen. But if you haven't noticed, you're not dead yet. Amen. We're still here. And now is our time to live for Jesus Christ. He brought us here today to this life, to this time, for such a time as this. That we would be the ones who would praise God and pray, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that we would speak the word of God with boldness, that in the face of persecution, we will continue to praise him and continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reality, friends, is people all around us are dying and they face an eternity in hell. People in our neighborhood, people in the neighborhood where you live, people at the grocery store. And what an opportunity we have. Let me just say this as I try to bring it to a close. Is anybody else getting tired of hearing of coronavirus? Yes. You're mad at me right now. Yes. COVID-19. A pastor friend of mine called me the other day, and I knew what he was calling about because they were trying to decide whether to cancel Oh Yeah or not. And I just gotten a text, like, we need to have a conversation about whether we're going to have the retreat or not. So when my pastor buddy called me up, I answered the phone with this. I said, if you say the word coronavirus to me, I will come through the phone and strangle you. Hello. We get so sick and tired of hearing it, but do you have any idea what an incredible opportunity this presents for us? Amen. Listen, there are people that are afraid to leave their home right now. And we can minister to them. There have been people in our church just in the last couple of days that have gone and picked up prescription and taken them to people in our church because they can't get out. That's an opportunity to minister. We can, listen, if you're young and healthy, you can go brave the crazy people at Walmart that are killing each other over rolls of toilet paper. But you can go there and pick things up and take them to people who can't get out right now. We can be in, it's a ministry, it's an opportunity. But let me tell you something far more than that. People are afraid. They're afraid of getting sick. They're afraid of dying. They're afraid somebody else in their family is going to get sick and die. And guess what? We have the answer. Amen. We may not have the cure for COVID-19, but we have the cure for sin and death. What an opportunity when the whole world's in a panic and an uproar and people don't know what to do. Well, listen, use your voice to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, we have to start looking at everything that happens in our world in the light of the gospel. I'm annoyed with coronavirus. I'm so annoyed with people just absolutely panicking, overreacting. It just seems like the world's gone mad. But listen to me. That's an opportunity for us to step up and give people the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's going to be another panic. I was reading something that C.S. Lewis wrote. Back in his day, the scare was the atomic bomb. The whole world was terrified of the atomic bomb. Everybody talked about it. It was in the news. People were building bomb shelters. People building underground things. I mean, the whole world had gone mad over the atomic bomb. You know what he said about that is exactly the same thing with coronavirus today. This, it's something new. But guess what? You're all going to die of something. Amen. We're all going to die someday. And there are things that are coming down the pike. If it's not the atomic bomb, then it's going to be H1N1 or Ebola or coronavirus or who knows what. Everybody faces the danger of a premature death. And what's the answer? The answer is to be ready. Amen. By putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. I think you ought to be careful. I think you ought to take precautions. I think we as a church should be concerned with the are people in our church that are high risk. I think we ought to care enough. Don't be silly about it. We ought to care enough. There are people in our church, if they get a cold, they could kill them. Forget some novel virus pandemic. Just if they got a head cold, it really could be harmful to them. We should care about that. We should be careful and use common sense. But listen, what an opportunity to take the gospel to the world. We don't have to be afraid. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
And the most sound thing that we can do is to take the gospel to the lost. Let's stand together. As our musicians come, I always want to plead with you. If you are old enough to understand the gospel and you have never been born again, I plead with you today to once and for all make a decision. Turn from your sin to God. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Call out to him today and be saved. If you have been born again but you've never been baptized, you need to follow Jesus in scriptural baptism and serve him in the church. Whatever the burden might be in your heart today, if he's convicting your heart, you come. If you are like me and you need to be a better witness, you know somebody who isn't saved, pray for them to come to Christ. Pray for God to give you the courage to take the gospel to them. But let's go from this place in the power of the Holy Spirit and be witnesses everywhere. They went everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's do the same.
Page 560.